My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Today we're on the road. We're in Temple, Georgia at Woodland Camp. And I'm here with the directors of the camp, Jay Ledbetter, who is the director of the camp, and also the pastor of the Kingsport, Knoxville, London, and Roanoke churches. He's a very, very busy man. We're glad to have Jay Ledbetter. We also have with us Philip Ost, who is the pastor of the church in Atlanta, Georgia, and Buford as well. And we do appreciate the work that these men have done pastorally, but also they have been camp director and assistant camp director here at Woodland in Temple, Georgia. So welcome to Inside United.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be here. We are just now finishing up camp, and we are just so leaving on such a high right now.
The same. Yeah, it's amazing we've been able and to be here for this entire week. Blessed to be here and not had any illnesses that have prevented us from moving forward and having a very successful camp.
Mr. Ledbetter, Jay Ledbetter, could you please tell us how this year went? Is this the first time you've been director of a camp?
This is my second year. I did direct the camp 2 years ago. That was prior to the COVID outbreak. So this is the second year, and I'm so happy to report that it was a wonderful year.
I'll have to say that when I came to the camp, there was a sense of electricity in the air from the campers and the staff. I mean, after a long drought, everybody was so excited. Of course, we had some, you know, concerns that we might have some of the COVID problems, but none of that really occurred. Philip, tell us about your impression of this year's camp.
Yeah, this camp has gone exceptionally well. We've gone just shy of 24 months without camp. And no surprise, all the teens in this region were very eager to get back together. Boy, it's become really evident, even while we've been here, about how much they missed one another. And the sharing that happens through camp is exceptional. It's second to none.
I know. In fact, today, in talking to some of the staff who have conducted the Bible studies, they commented about the maturity of the young people and the questions that they asked. All the kids, I feel, have been very enriched and contributed to the educational process.
That's one thing that Philip and I were speaking about earlier, you know, the level of spiritual maturity that we noticed and was just so obvious this year. And we really tried to tap into that by providing a space to where not only could they ask the questions, but also to provide peer-to-peer support and answers. And it was just a really energizing experience whenever we did that.
Well, I might just kind of tell here on Jay, we were driving down here and we were looking up the camp on Facebook, and lo and behold, we pop into your Bible study. You know, that's Jay's voice, and he's talking to the campers. And so Bev and I just kind of tuned in and just really listened, and he spoke from the first chapter of Daniel and talked about the character of those people and talked about the process of conversion. And Jay's daughter has just recently been baptized, and she was there also as part of this. She was interviewed by her dad. I thought, man, here's her dad talking to his daughter in front of all these people about very personal things, you know, about faith. And I just felt like the young people respected that. I mean, they saw the relationship that a minister or an adult is not just doing that because that's his responsibility, but he really believes it. He's passing it on to his family, and it's important to him.
And I learned so much from my daughter, Kate. It's just amazing. And I really have tried to be intentional with asking her questions about her perspective, her perspective with her friends. And it's just so enlightening because they are thinking deeply about all these issues that they're facing. And it really is helpful because it, in a teaching role, to know who we're speaking to and the exact things that they're going to, then we can look to the Bible for specific answers and really hone in exactly what they're struggling with or what they have questions regarding.
Well, what are some of the questions specifically that they have brought up as they related to the Bible?
The core things are all the same, you know, peer pressure, struggling to be a light in the darkness, all those things. But the specific issues are particular, and they're very specific to this generation. And so knowing what those are, we can teach in a way that's more relevant and connect with them in a deeper way.
Jay and I have had many conversations along these lines, particularly trying to get a finger on the pulse of how our teens are being raised, what they're experiencing. Certainly technology plays a huge role in all of this. And there's a certain transparency, and I'm not even sure it's a genuine transparency. They feel like at times they can say anything and online, and you know, I'm not even sure there's a difference between a public and private self where we used to have clear lines of demarcation. They don't think that way at all. So even as they present themselves online, whatever the social media might be, I think they feel, you know, empowered in a way, and in a way they feel like no one really watches, or they don't really care if others watch. So we've had to deal with a range of topics even here. One of the things that we incorporated at the camp specifically is we actually asked them up front what questions would they like answered. So we received 92 questions to address. And I took that data using the background and education I had and generated 12 topics or themes that we addressed. And so the first Christian Living Extra class we had on Saturday evening, we were only able to wade through about 4 or 5, but then the rest of the week, Mr. Steve Parker has been instrumental, even based upon conversations with Jay and me, thinking through how best to address these questions, because they're questions that for them are certainly genuine. For example, with, you know, different communities, how do you address those who might, we oftentimes have recognized as being violating God's law? You know, do you make fun of them? Do you ostracize them? They don't know. And so we had to go through a process of thinking through how to equip these young people who have a sense of the principles that are in the Bible, but may not know the scriptures and where they are. And so we've done that, and they've done an exceptional job in terms of, as Jay's talked about, stepping forward and making sense of the logic and hearing what God has to say on the topic, which is so important.
I'm a firm believer that God works with people in all times, whether they're times of corruption and degeneracy, such as the Apostle Paul. He worked in times that were worse than we are right now. And I think in one sense, that makes people even more devoted to the things that they know that are right. There's not a lot of people. And when you're in a shrinking group, as Christians are in what's called the post-Christian era, the ones who are in the shrinking group are even more devout and stronger in faith.
Yeah, I think letting these kids know that they are in the world and they're there purposely. You know, Jesus Christ prayed that, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And so we need them out there, and because they are light and they are salt, and that's what the world needs. And so they need to keep the standard high. You don't lower the standard, but you don't look down on those who are living in these ways that they're just confused and in many ways blind. And you do what you can. You come to them and you model God's way, and you make God's way attractive, and then they're drawn to you, and then that might give them opportunities to share some truth from God.
I'm going to play off of that because, as Jay's already shared, and then we're going to really transition to one of the purposes of camp in all of this, they certainly don't want to be condemning of others. At the same time, they wonder, how can they represent God and do so without being apologetic? And they don't have to be apologetic. You can certainly stand your ground and have others respect your beliefs, even as we see in Scripture, and at the same time show respect to others, which doesn't push them away. It just makes clear that there's a different way that you're living, that these young people are living, and that they have, in a way, opportunity to provide God's example in a unique way that might not otherwise show up in these people's lives ever. So it's a really special opportunity. And at camp, even as we talk about the value of camp, camp allows these young people to realize they're not alone, say in their own church area, where there might not be another teen, because they come together here and they are able to identify that others are going through the exact same thing, raising the same questions and dealing with these challenging issues. So it's a galvanizing opportunity for all of us.
What big differences have you found in the last 2-3 years? And of course, we had a 2-year break. Of what you see in tensile strength of our kids. I know we've covered this some, but what differences have you seen from 2 years ago to the current time? Jay?
I think they came into camp this year with a deep level of gratitude, and that has moved them this year. And so they're just excited to be here. And it's just been so good to see. And we have noticed right away that they're deeply invested. So they're here. And that they have left all the distractions out in the world, and they've been here, mind and body, and really invested this year. And so that gratitude and just knowing how special this camp is has been really special to see.
One thing that I have found too is that, you know, as we get older, we see the generations below us, you know, coming up. Even my son, you know, he's 45, 46 years old. He's not a young kid anymore. And he has his own children here. And to me, it's been wonderful to see how faith passes from one generation to another. I know it's not perfect, and I know that we have so many challenges and so many threats to our faith in the world that we live. But it's wonderful to see that God's Spirit is working, as it always has from day one of creation, and in the special plan that God is working, he'll give that plan to everybody someday. But right now, it's good to see how that is being played out. Phil?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. As we see these young people, it's so nice to see family names you've heard before, those who have to be older, or to see even, you know, the purse of a lips or the way the eyes work. And you know that that comes from a certain family that you've long been acquainted for some time. And these young people really come, as Jay's shared, with a sincere desire to learn more about God, to learn more about their purpose while they're here. And they come, in many cases, from a rich tradition where people in the Church of God have dedicated their lives, and they're coming to understand God uniquely on their own with the realization that God's been working with them for a long time, and now they really want to form a much stronger relationship with God. And their comments in the Christian Living classes are evidence of that. It's so exciting to see. And as Jason and I have sometimes talked about, it really provides hope for the rest of us, because you begin to realize that God's church will continue, that those who happen to be here and desirous of following God are sincere in everything that they talk about. They really want to know God. They really want to, you know, do those two great commandments: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's just so great to see.
The young people will remember that. In fact, one time I did an article about youth and asked them a couple of questions. It was about the second generation of Christians, about what events or what experiences in your youth are those that have remained with you most. And there were two things. One was camp. That time was Orr, Minnesota. I mean, that really stuck out because they were with other kids, they were with the ministry, and they had quite a dose of the Bible, but they were grateful for it. So I believe that we're making memories for our kids here at camp, and we'll have a great impact. But I would like to turn to another facet of camp, because people oftentimes at campsites that we rent and use comment about the people who come to the camp, of how well organized, how well disciplined they are, how well prepared, how things are thought through, both from the aspect of education and the aspect of activities. Tell us, Jay, what do you do to plan for camp? How long did it take? What did you do? Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Where do we begin? I will say it's been very enjoyable to plan this with Philip this year. And we have had hours upon hours of conversations and together reaching out to all the wonderful staff. As busy as it is, for the director and the assistant director, I can tell you, and I know Philip will attest to this, it is a group effort. We have this year 55 dedicated staff, and they are volunteering their time to be here. They're sacrificing jobs and family time, and they are so invested. And they're here for the kids, and they want these kids to learn to love God's way and to live it and just to internalize it, and so they can take the church on to the next step in the next era.
You know, as Jay already shared, there's just so much that goes into building a camp. You know, organizationally, thinking through particularly who are your counselors, because they play such an independent role in connecting with the campers. You know, they're kind of surrogate parents for a week, and they experience highs and lows, and they're striving to help the team connect with one another. And even as there are challenges individually and collectively, they're all there. And we happen to have had an exceptional group, even with the realization that we had to do some shuffling 24 to 48 hours out. We were praying about it, praying that God would find the right people for these positions. And Jay and I went back and forth. And then I think we've found ourselves almost shocked at how good they've been. God really blessed us with those who happen to be our counselors and assistant counselors, and they've navigated the challenges. And sometimes we know that it's not easy to deal with these. There can be personality differences, and sometimes kids are dealing with things from home and they bring it here and they have to work through all of those. But they've done a really great job. And then we worked through organizationally, you know, who is over activities. We had 14 activities this summer here, and then all of the other departments that have to make a camp go. So there's all of that planning, and then separately, there's all the scheduling, and the scheduling itself is just a bear. I think I've had a rude awakening about how much time it takes to figure out how you plan a day, you know, for a group of 14 and two counselors to make sure each day it's fulfilling, it's balanced. Certainly get their Christian living class every morning, but then how do you get them back and forth across the camp, keep them hydrated, keep them motivated to learn the next skill, and all doing so within the framework of 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 40 about how God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and everything done decently in order. That comes from my SCP days.
You talked about the various activities that we have had here at the camp. And one thing that kind of came up a couple different times today was about media. Because media at one time, you know, was a newspaper, but now with electronic media, digital media. What did you do this year? And tell us more about that.
Jay and I talked about, because you have so many different athletic activities, about really kind of tapping into other people's interests using, with the realization that these kids are on technology all the time. How can we capitalize on that? And so we chose to put or initiate a digital media program here, which meant for us buying cameras, teaching the kids how to use them, getting them out, taking footage, photographs. The cameras themselves were a wonderful gift, even that someone up in Nashville said, no, you're starting a new program. I'd like to purchase those cameras for you. So we were able to, with a small amount of money, purchase very nice cameras. Cameras themselves are kind of invincible. You can drop them from 6 feet, they can go underwater. And the kids really took advantage of this and ran. So my sister, who happens to be also a academic, she's at the University of South Alabama and she deals with instructional design, developed a program partially based upon what Mitch Moss had done in the past. And the program allows the kids to come in and start to constructively use the digital media and understand what it means to take good pictures, take good footage. And I think the amount they took was a bit overwhelming. I mean, in the ballpark of thousands and thousands of photos was the end result. And so even in this case, she came to me and said, well, what are we going to do with all this? And I said, it's almost too much to harvest at one time. We do know we could put it on, say, a Google photos page, and then we could share that hyperlink. But I think we're just kind of starting to unpack where this is going, with the aim at some point of doing, you know, kind of a Woodland Today short video every day to keep the parents updated, to keep those in the church updated that shows up on our Facebook page.
Now, also as far as social media is concerned, now it seems the biggest rage is TikTok, and everybody's talking about it. In fact, I have a TikTok account, but I haven't done much with it. It's just, you know, doing these 3 to 5 or 10 second things is just beyond me at this point. I mean, I'm still an old timer with Facebook and Twitter, yeah. Which is kind of the old. But what kinds of things came to the surface here about social media?
They take social media for granted. And when I say that, they are oftentimes early adopters. They'll move through content pretty fast. And then they'll tell you whether they like whatever the social media is and why they like it. But we tend to be going through media, as you've already shared there, so fast that it never really feels like we stick with any media for that long a time. So even as, you know, I have a daughter who's 19 and a son who's 22, they go back and forth between Instagram and TikTok and all these media. And at times I just kind of feel like I'm on the outside looking in and watching some of this take place because I'm familiar with media, but I'm not a huge media user. At times, you know, this, the amount of time it takes to invest into learning a new media and then really understanding all that it can do. It feels like 2, 3, 4 years in the media, we've moved on to the next media. So it's a bit intimidating there. I think part of it is we're just trying to answer questions about, again, how do you use a media in a productive way, in a godly way, so that it's used for good purposes as opposed to used for bad purposes.
Well, one thing I find that by having something like this, and with the other programs, even those dealing with crafts, arts, and that type of thing, is that young people who may not have opportunity to use these things all of a sudden have the equipment and some talent erupts, you know, that they love doing it, or they love drawing, or they love photography, or they love video, and they catch on, and then they really take off with it. So in a sense, the camp program not only develops people spiritually, but also brings out talents when you can have 10, 12 people competing, not competing, but working together with photography, taking pictures, and then each one helps one another.
And the concept there is to stretch them and further them maybe, or introduce them to something that they haven't been introduced before. And we really explored that this year with our young adult staff. You know, a lot of the one aspect that's not talked about too much is the presence, the great presence of young adults who volunteer their time and to come to serve those who are really just one generation or just half a generation younger than them. So this year, we've really tried to tap into that, to have them have a prominent voice at camp. One area that we've really found most successful is in our evening campfire wrap-up session. And we have really reached out to our young adult staff. We've paired them up into two or three, four groups, gave them the daily Christian living topic, and had them explore that and broaden it, bring in humor, bring in personal stories, bring in connection. And whenever, I know Philip has noticed this too, whenever you look around that campfire moment, boy, those eyes of the little ones, our campers, they're all really honed in on them because they can really connect. And they look up to these young adults and innately want to emulate many of their qualities. So it's been so wonderful to see these young adults stretch and grow from campers into leadership. And I've heard them explain that, boy, they didn't think they could get up there in front of these campers and present something for 30 minutes, and they do it, and the campers are engaged. And so that is one aspect of camp that is further growing and allowing our future leaders to really step into their own.
We see that picture. I mean, we probably see it a little bit more because when we see youngsters, 8, 10 years old in, you know, preteen camp, then we see them go through UIC. Then we see them move on to other things, become ministerial trainees, you know, be ordained and pastor churches. I mean, it is such a satisfying experience to see that kind of thing happen. Plus, others will learn ethical standards, godly standards that will make them standouts on their jobs. You know, with the world as it is, they are good examples at work and honesty and ethics and integrity and that type of thing in a world of great corruption. That's really wonderful. Jay, is there anything else you'd like to say here as we wrap up?
Well, I will say, you know, camp is most obviously about fun. They're experiencing things they've never experienced before, from rock climbing to kayak to archery and all these different things. And that's wonderful. We want them to have fun. But that is an avenue into helping them encounter God here. We try to create a space where they feel safe and comfortable and supported and encouraged, an environment in which we can further develop their relationship with God.
That's the outcome.
That is the key.
And that's what people sponsor other kids to come for, and that's why we want to have this program available to as many of our youth in the church as possible. Bill, any comments in conclusion?
I'm with Jay on this. Even as the program pivots around this year's theme, Anchored to God, it's been so beautiful to see the Christian living classes and then them unpacked even during the lunch hour, where we've offered surveys to offer the personal understanding, the personal lesson that they've learned from the morning class, and then to even debrief in those Christian living classes in the evening, to hear them talk about it all throughout the day and start to make connections between the steps we have during the week, those 5 class periods. And for them to realize that ultimately, as much value as it is in learning this, that they've been charged with an opportunity to go forward and be that light, to be that salt. And they show a tremendous amount of zeal to go and to act on these things. And that's what's so encouraging, I think, to all of us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you both, Philip and Jay, for being on Inside United today.
Thank you so much.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Please be sure to tell your friends about our weekly podcast. We're easy to find. Go to the main UCG.org homepage. We're on the main menu line. Click or tap on the podcast button, and there we are. Also, we're on Spotify, and you can find us through your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. We'd love to hear from you. Please be sure to write to us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. So have a great week, and we'll see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.